Amen. Aaron and Nicole Simmons and their children are here from Tip City today. They pastor the Upper Room Fellowship, which is in the greater Dayton area, actually. It's all one big conglomerate of area down there. It gets intense. You've left Columbus and you drive west, and then you start to get into, for us, it's like, whoa, traffic and intensity and whatever. So there's a lot going on down there, and they pastor. I've been down several times now, and they pastor a church that is truly a life-giving church, a church that is that are just wholehearted in what they do. And so, it's really the core of why I had Aaron and Nicole come, and it's so neat they can come together this time. Aaron came almost. I've lost track. Has it been 2 years ago that you came by yourself or not? Maybe?
February.
It was February, so not quite 2 years. Then Nicole came last February, maybe, and with our women's conference. And so now they're here together with their girls. That's the real dynamic, I think. And so just looking forward to fellowshipping with them and them just imparting things that they have to share with us. So, Aaron, I'll just have you come up. And okay. The Lord bless you and be with you and just thank you. He's so family-oriented, and this is perfect for our little our weekend here. We've had an epidemic of flus and strep throat and all kinds of other things that have kind of kept people away. So, but I'm trusting the Lord will still have his way, and we'll have great meetings and great times. So, amen. God bless.
Yeah, y'all. Thanks for having me. Yep. Love you guys. Who's here is supposed to be here. Yeah.
Yep.
So we celebrate that, and we just pray for everybody who's sick. That yeah, perfect. We just thought we'd kind of start something light and just do a dreaming session this morning. So I'm gonna speak maybe 30 minutes or so on dreaming, maybe a little less, and then just activate you. That's one of my passions, is to get people dreaming, because I think it's so connected to faith and hope. So when you begin to get in a dreaming realm, you get in the heavenly realm of seeing beyond of what's in front of you. So oftentimes when I pray for healing, if I'm praying for somebody who's blind, I'm envisioning them opening up their eyes and seeing me for the first time. So to me, there's that faith, hope, and dreaming realm that's so closely connected that's just kind of what I'm going to go with today, this morning. And then is there like a cutoff time? What time did you want to serve lunch?
Around noon.
Around noon. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll fast forward.
Yeah. Well, I think 12:30 would be good. Is an hour good?
Plenty. Yeah. So we'll make sure we eat by 12:30, or else my daughters might be like, Dad, we had breakfast at the hotel at 8:00. You preached so long. We didn't eat till 2:00. So no, they're much more respectful from that, but that's how I interpret that. So, I love to dream. I keep saying this, and I probably said this 2 years ago, and the pressure's on, but we're getting really close. Leif and I have a mentor, a spiritual father named Leif Hetland, and he and I are working on a book called Born to Dream. And it's these chapters laid out, and one of the chapters, my favorite chapter that we're working on, is God is an optimist. And God sees things beyond what they currently are and better than we think they are. Yeah. Like, he's certainly not pessimistic or negative or thinking that the world or our nation is doom and gloom. That's not who he is. That's not how he operates. He doesn't look at somebody who's in a wheelchair as this terrible tragedy. He looks at it with hope that he desires to heal. And that's kind of the thing, like, well, we'll pray. If it's God's will, you'll be healed. No, he died on a cross, and his stripes were for our healing. Like, his desire, and he even tells us in his prayer to pray this, kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So therefore, right then, we know his desire for earth is for healing and the kingdom to come in every situation. So when I'm talking about dreaming, I'm not talking just about nighttime dreams. We'll go into that, but we're kind of back and forth on the car what to do here, and then I walk in the door, and there's a brand new picture on the table out there. It says, I'll dream today and do tomorrow, or I'll dream tonight and do tomorrow. So just kind of thought that was some confirmation, but anyway, so dreaming is like aspiring, but it's also opening up a faith realm. So if you think about in Numbers, Caleb goes to the enemy camp, and he had these spies go, 12 go in, and only two came out with a perspective like, we can do it. You know, they had this perspective of, did you see the grapes? Did you see all these things? Did you see what we saw? And, you know, you got the other guys, the naysayers, the negative Nancys, saying, oh, they're too powerful. They're too big. But then Caleb's interpretation, he was dreaming. He was like, oh, man, we can do this. And he brings it back, and it changed history based on a perspective of optimism, on dreaming, on faith, on the faith realm of like, no, we can do this. God's on our side. We can do anything. So it's the can versus the can't. Let me see here. The moment you believe in God, you get saved. The moment you realize he believes in you, you get transformed. So once I see in his perspective, I tend to see things differently. So I see in a realm of faith. I see in a realm of can do. I see in a realm of what God's capable of, what he's wanting to do versus what the present day reality is. So, and let me clarify this. So, because I got mixed up on this when my mom was diagnosed with cancer. There's a difference between denial and reality. There's a difference between denial and faith. So I lived in such a felt, I have a gift of faith. So I lived in such a faith realm, I actually lived in denial, and I would quote verses, well, whose report will we believe? We'll only believe the report of the Lord. You know, all these things. But the reality is, if I deny the diagnosis, I deny the need of the healing. So there is a reality that, okay, this is my circumstances right now. There is a diagnosis of cancer, and at that time, that's what we were dealing with. That's a real thing. So when I realize that, and I'm not living in denial, okay, now I realize that, but I'm living in a faith realm that God's capable to heal and actually change the diagnosis. He's not going to necessarily change the diagnosis, that's it, but he can heal to reverse it and to change the future because of a healing. So the diagnosis is there. It's like, okay, if I have no money in the bank, all right, that's the current situation, but now I get an unexpected check in the mail of $10,000, now that's changed the reality of what's happened. But I couldn't deny I was broke as a joke before that. Okay, so it's like I can't deny. If I deny a diagnosis, if I deny a reality, a lot of times I'm denying the need for the miracle. So there's this difference of, so what I was doing, I was denying the diagnosis. I was like, that's a lie. We're not even going to believe it. That's how I was living with my mom. But really what I realized was that wasn't a faith realm. That was a denial realm. And I'm not saying I was wrong. I'm just saying I've learned a lot through the last few years to know, okay, no, that's a real diagnosis. This person is really blind.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, that's not a lie, all right? They're really blind. Ask them. They're blind. They can't see anything. We just had a blind eye opened up a couple weeks ago at our church. She's been blind for 30 years in an eye. She could only see like this strip right here. And we had a thing called Pink Sunday. Since my mom died, we go after cancer, and we have a thing called Pink Sunday once a year. And we had tumors dissolved that day a few weeks ago in October. And also this blind eye totally opened up. And Nicole and my daughters are praying for her. And all of a sudden, I'm on the stage, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I see this lady do this. And then she's crying, and then she's laughing. And I'm like, what's happening down there? And so, you know, the reality was she was blind. She had a condition in the eye. But the reality is also, but God. Then suddenly, but God can heal it. So that's the dreaming realm. Like, we know he's capable. That's the faith realm. Faith are things hoped for, not seen. So It's not denying the present reality, but it's dreaming of what can be. So, like, I know, I've seen enough, and I'll say this, we're not dreaming out of discontentment, we're dreaming out of a hunger for more, and that's a healthy perspective. I'm not dreaming, you know, I want more finances, I want a debt-free church, I want these things, and God's doing crazy miracles. I'll share this, we had an anonymous donor. We've been praying. 11 years ago, I first get saved. Our annual income for an entire church was like $75,000 a year. That was everything. That was total. And a few of like four or five families were the big chunk of that. And God told me that somebody was going to give $100,000. And I'm like, wow, Lord, okay. And it was like an audible, it was one of the few times I've heard the audible voice of the Lord. 10, 11, you know, 6 years goes by, 7 years goes by. You know, we build our church, and we hit rock, and we hit this thing, and it was $100,000 in debt from unexpected things when we were building our building. And So then we made it up. We laid our own stone. We did the sanctuary. We ended up doing ourselves, our own lighting. We built our own stage. So we made up. We recouped that $100,000 by elbow grease and manual labor and getting guys together to do this stuff. So I'm like, okay, maybe that's it. And I'm like, I just being kept reminded, no, I heard a $100,000 check. And so I continue to dream for that and continue to have faith and believe for that. And so all these years go by, and then you get frustrated. You get that prophetic word. You get that word. You get that declaration, whatever it is, that prayer. And then you get frustrated when it's not coming true. You tend to give up because hope deferred makes the heart sick. So you tend to not see what you know and what you feel and what you believe and what you've heard and these prophetic words. And then you get confirmations. But where is it? Where's that pregnancy I was promised? Where's that promotion I was promised? Where's the full church and the regional transformation that we're promised? You know, all these things. And then you start to get frustrated. So I went through that. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, when it comes, it comes. Well, I went to lunch with a guy. And he's like, hey, I just want to let you know, my wife and I have prayed about this. And we trust you so you can do whatever you want with it. But we want to give an anonymous donation to the church. And it's going to be $100,000 this year. You'll receive it by the end of the year. So I'm just telling you this so you don't throw it away when it comes in the mail thinking it's wrong. And then you're going to get a second one next year at the beginning of the year. We want to break it up for tax purposes. I'm like, oh my gosh. I just start bawling. We're at lunch. I just start bawling. And he starts crying. And I'll be honest, it wasn't the amount of the money. It's the promise. You know, it's 12 years, 10 to 12 years of holding on to a word that you knew was true, and you never gave up on it, even though the ups and the downs and the faith challenges and all that, you still never gave up on it. So yeah, I still dreamed for it. I was like, Lord, this is going to be amazing. And you know, we keep chipping away at our debt. We keep doing things in the community. And we're like, okay, God, why are you telling us to sow this $10,000 seed here when we have this debt we're trying to pay off in this capital campaign to pay off our building? Just do it. And then, you know, a week later, then we get the $100,000 donation. And it's just these crazy things. So you just hold on to these things. And eventually, it's like it opens up. So when I'm hearing this, I'm like, oh, Lord, you're so faithful, you know? And that's the thing with dreaming. It's like it may not happen now. It's the thing with faith. It's the thing for the signs of the wonders, the very things that we're contending for. It may not be like right now. But his promises don't return void. His prayers are always answered. You know, it says his promises are yes and amen. So as we're dreaming, it's not out of something I lack. It's not out of a discontentment. Like we're not, we're content with what we have. We really are as a church, as a family, as a person. I dream of fast cars. I have dream cars, right? We have a dream house. But we're certainly content where we are. Like, and that's just kind of where I am. And going back to that blind eye, and what I told the church was just recently, if I never saw another miracle, if I never saw another crazy radical healing, if I never had another, you know, take me off my feet encounter, I've still already seen God's goodness and his favor and his mercy and his grace, and I've still tasted and seen that he's good and he alone is good. Like, it's just, now I hunger for that stuff. I'm not saying I don't, I do. But what I'm saying is I'm so like content with where God has me and just I've seen so much and I've seen his nature reveal his love so much. I've seen the Father show up in love ways so much that I honestly don't need another healing. I don't need another prophetic word. I want him. Bring him on. Like, bring it. Bring me another prophetic words of 100. I told our team, we're sitting around a table talking about what do we do with $200,000 we didn't expect? You know, what do we do with this? And we decided to pay off debt. But we're taking $20,000, we're going to transform our city. We're figuring out ways to just sow $20,000 in our city and $180,000 to the debt. But anyway, it's like, what do? And it's so exciting, but at the same time, it's like, we didn't need it. We're not depending on this again, but we're like, okay, now it's time. Let's get a word for $1 million. That's the dream now. Seriously, I wrote it down. I was like, okay, $1 million now. You know, if he can do it, if he can open up, like $10,000 to us would be a huge gift. That would be a tremendous gift in the size of our income in our church. So then to multiply that, and then the double portion of the promise he promised me, I'm like, man, if he can do this. So as I'm sitting there, let me get back to, as I'm sitting there crying with this man, it was the awe of God. It was like, he is so faithful, so true. And then I'm like, and if he can do this, what else can he do? You know, my brother and sister-in-law, they've been promised a child, that they would bear a child for like, it's been 17, 20 years now. And they'll show up at a church service and prophets will call them out. We see you bearing a child. You know, get the room ready, pick out the name. You know, two different homes now, they have a baby, you know, crib, and they have this room and still, you know, barren. And I'm like, just at that lunch table, I had this vision, you know, opened up the dream realm for me. If he can do this $100,000 promise twofold, now what's this look like for my brother and his wife? You know, what's this look like for the lady in the wheelchair at our church? What's this look like for our region? What's this look like for our nation with his promises? So for me, the dreaming realm is much bigger than just, oh, I want to dream of another car. I have a dream vacation. Those things ignite things in us that lead to hope. The guys at work this week, they had this bar like in this town about 20 miles from us. Maybe you heard about it. This bar, it's in a city of 4,000 people. All right. They started this like raffle or this game, I guess. I don't know. You buy something, you pay money, and then if you flip over a card, if there's a queen of hearts on the back, you get it. And if no one draws that, it keeps amping up. This little city, this little tiny bar, had 5 total employees. Last week, this drawing got up to almost $1 million. All right. So they had 30,000 people showing up to this little community every single week for this drawing. And I'll be honest, like, they're like, Aaron, you want in? I'm going tonight to buy tickets. I'm like, yep, I'll throw in $5. I'm like, man, you know, take home if you weren't there was 400 grand. And I'm like, okay, finish paying off the church, pay off our house. Here we go. This is what we're going to do. And I made a list. And for me, that $5, I'm not gambling because I know I'm going to lose. For me, I was paying for a chance to dream with the Lord for $400,000. I'm not for the lottery, by the way. I don't believe in it. Okay, I really don't. Please don't gamble. All right, that's not what I'm saying. I don't go to casinos. If they have it there, they're going to make the money off of you, okay? They don't have games there that you're going to win on statistically, okay? So that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it opened up this dream realm for me. And so dreaming, to me, it unlocks this faith, it unlocks hope. And if your memories are greater than your dreams, you're already dead. I'll just say that again. If your memories are greater than your dreams, you're already dead. We camp around what God is doing, not just what he did. Manna had to fall fresh every day. We just talked about the tabernacle. We're doing this series at our church, and we talked about the table, and the table of showbread, the table of the bread of his presence. And every day on the Sabbath, the high priest would eat that bread, break bread together, and they'd replace it every single week with fresh bread. Same thing, manna would fall, it's fresh bread. So if our memories are greater than our dreams, we're already dead. He's doing a new thing. We've got to be dreaming of the new song that is coming to sound. We can't, I love the old hymnals, and we honor, I think last time I was here, I preached on those 3 generations. We honor the past, we appreciate the present, but we dream of the future. And it's setting up 3 generations. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we're connecting these 3 generations to where, you know, we honor the people that were out in the tent. We honor the people that built this place. We honor those fathers here. And then we're excited for those in that middle age group here that I'm seeing, you know, the kids of Rick and the kids of all the elders and the leaders here. We're so thankful, like, you're now leading the songs, you're now helping lead the children's classes, you're doing it, you're now leading the youth, all right? But then, like, what about the little kids that are in there right now? Like, what about, you know, Lincoln, who Summer's with right now? Like, what's that look like? Embracing the future and dreaming of, now we've paid this way, now they don't have to build a building. They don't have to spend their nights and weekends away from their family. They get to do that pouring into their family and their marriage because somebody else paid here. Now you get to play. And it's like, that's what dreaming unlocks is you. Somebody had a dream here. And then, you know, I believe it was Rick and it was the prophetic words and all these forefathers, right? And then there was the vision to fulfill it. And there's the people that actually put up these beams. Like that actually was out here when the crane came to set these things. And now what's it look like for that next generation to come? So as we're approaching winter, I don't know about you, but I'm not a huge fan of winter. I used to love it, like up to 3 years ago. I don't know what happened. It was just like a switch. So maybe once you hit like 35, it's like, oh, wait, I'm starting to feel things in my back and my neck that I didn't used to feel. And I shouldn't have played football for all of those years and my knees are aching. But I'm like, I just want to drive. I don't want to worry. I don't want to get salt on my car. I don't want the snow to be brown, all right? At our place, you know, there's so many roads, it's like you see very little white snow after the first day. It's like all brown. And well, I love green and I love flowers and I love color. And on the way here, I have these glasses. They're from Ray-Ban. They're called Chromance, all right? And they were supposed to make all the colors pop. And on the way here, I was trying them out. I'm like, there's no color. It's all gray and like brown. Where's the color? And so anyway, it's the winter's here, all right? And there's a verse in Song of Solomon in 2:11-13. It says, the winter is past and the spring has come. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard on our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. The winter is past. The rains are gone. Now the flowers are blooming. Spring's alive, right? It's hard for us to see that when we're in this dreary, cold, you know, there was frost on the ground today, and it's just like gray and brown and like yellows maybe. And but here's what the reality is: when we can actually dream, we can actually see the spring already coming in just a few months. And here's what we also know: that in those times of like dormant times and that shifting of the earth, winter is actually the most fruitful time of the seasons in Ohio. I don't know if you knew this, but the leaves and everything that goes down, that becomes nitrogen and it becomes fertilizer to actually make things grow better in the spring. The other thing is what happens is the thawing and the freezing and the thawing and the freezing opens up the earth for that to work down. Without that, we wouldn't be able to have the harvest. And that's why they alternate the crops. You know, the beans and the corn, they alternate them because now what was there once before becomes nutrients for what's going to be there in the future. And if we can dream that in the faith realm to know that, okay, we're in Ohio. We know spring's coming. That's how we muscle through it. We're strong. We're Ohioans. We're like, all right, we got to get the warm clothes on. We got to get through this. But we know it's just a couple months. January and February are terrible, but March is coming. March is here. There might be a little scattered snow in there a couple days, but then April's here, and then it's secured. The deal is sealed, right? That's dreaming, to know that, wait, actually what I'm going through now is a purpose so that I can get to somewhere in the future that's even better. And without winter and without the change of the seasons, we wouldn't have what we have. And that's when the acorns get to work down in as a seed to become a tree. And that's what winter does. It pops the shell off to get the seed down in the ground. The earth is shifting. It works its way down a couple inches, about an inch, half inch, becomes a sprout. And now we have a oak tree that will now bear fruit and bear seeds in the future. But without winter, the process wouldn't happen. That's where the seeds are cracked, and that's where we get the new life. Acts 2. I'm just doing some foundational stuff for dreaming, then we'll get into some fun things. Acts 2, it says this, in the last days, verse 17, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people, all flesh, everyone. And it says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. I like that, by the way. We have a prophetic culture, and I love it. There's a lady that she's taking care of her mom, and she's not been to our church in a while. I texted her the other day. I miss your prophetic voice in my life. Just send me prophetic things. She'll get her notepad out. She's drawing pictures for me all the time, Catherine. And I love prophecy, but I love it says, all of you will. Sons and daughters will prophesy. It doesn't say might or if they have the gift. No, it's like, no, you will. Because prophecy, if we go to 1 Corinthians, I think it's 14, says to edify, to encourage, and lift up. It's like, that's what prophecy is. It's to encourage. It's to compliment. It's to make you believe what heaven's seeing in you that you may not be seeing in yourself. But then here's the focus. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Listen, a dream is a blueprint for the future and the vision is the ability to fulfill it. Okay, so what happens is the fathers and the mothers are like architects and the sons and the daughters are like the builders. So your fathers and your mothers and the ones that go before us, they are like the architects that see these blueprints, that have these visions, and then the sons and the daughters have the dream to fulfill it. And if we think about Elijah and Elisha, you know, the double portion blessing. The father had a vision, the son had a dream to fulfill it. And the same thing to where you have Moses and Joshua. Moses had a dream and Joshua had a vision to fulfill it. You see David. And I'll just spend just a moment on David here. David had this dream of the temple. All of a sudden, you have the prophet show up to say, David, no, listen, you were good with the slingshot. You've been good with the sword. You've been great with the crown, but you're not so good with a hammer. Your son Solomon, he's going to be the one that actually builds the temple. Sorry. And then what you have is, so you had this father who stepped into the father role. Says, okay, and he accepted that he wasn't going to be the one that actually built the temple. That was his dream. But he set his son up for success for the rest of his life. He worked so that his son would be set up for success, working, getting the best craftsman, getting all the finances in line, getting the gold ready. He gave everything and then just handed it to Solomon. And then Solomon asked for one thing, wisdom. And then he fulfilled the dream of the father with the vision that he had to execute what the plan was. And that's the cool relationship between a father and a son. A father is setting up a son for success, and a son is actually cherishing and honoring the father to not change the vision, just enhance it. Joshua didn't have a new vision from Moses. It was still to get to the promised land. It just looked a little different. I might go with that Sunday morning. We'll just stop there for a minute. There's a different thing to where Joshua didn't come out with his new thing. Nope, now we're going to go back to Egypt. No, he still said, no, we're going to continue this promised land because I'm going to fulfill the dream that my father had. So, and then obviously the best one and the most awesome one of all time is Jesus. The Father God had a dream and Jesus the Son had a vision to fulfill it and died on a cross so that we can have an all-access pass for the Father's heart. John 17, the prayer was that we could, I and you, you and me, let everybody see what we have, that we can be in them, that they can have what we have. So the Father's heart is to welcome us into an eternity, a family forever. So yet here's Jesus on the cross, it is finished. He's saying, listen, your dream, it's finished. Now the family, now everybody you created can be connected to you through the gift of salvation. So as we're moving on, vision is from God. Vision is a snapshot of the eternal. Faith is required for vision, but vision activates faith. All right? Faith moves you past circumstances and makes visions reality. So there's a difference between seeing and in vision. Okay, Helen Keller couldn't see, but she had vision. There's a difference there. Vision means I can see beyond what my current circumstances are. I can believe for that $100,000 when we're only bringing in $75,000 a year because I stand on the promises and the can-do of God. That's what dreaming is. Dreaming means, okay, it's not practical. It makes no sense whatsoever for me to dream of a Lamborghini. But it's a dream. It's a dream. Now I probably wouldn't own one because it would just be stupid and... Man, it was really fun driving one once. It was so much fun, all right? But there's this thing that it makes me dream, and I get a car magazine every month. I get this car magazine, and it just makes me dream. Oh, that's nice. Ooh, look at the new BMW i8. Oh, it's so beautiful. Look at this concept car. Oh, whoa, look. Ooh, Subaru has a new 7 or 8-seater coming. Oh, it's nice. I love these things. It helps me dream. And I do this intentionally. I get this so that my faith stays alive. I stay full of hope, full of joy, and full of encouragement of the future. Again, I love my 2001 little Acura MDX with 180,000 miles on it and a stinky exhaust. And just this week, I turned the ignition off, pulled the key out. I'm like, why is the fan still running on the defrost? I put it back in, and turn it off, pull it out. I turn it on, it's still running. I'm like, how's this happening? I'm like, well, maybe the ignition's messed up. And like, oh, I turn it off. And I'm like, hopefully it'll just start the next time I go in it. If not, I've got the battery jumper ready. So I'm like, but I like it. And Nicole's like, you need a new car. I'm like, no, I don't. It works just fine for what I need. I have a work car. This is just take kids here and there or do whatever. So anyway, let's go to Ephesians 3:20. All right. And I've got to wrap this stuff up in the next 10 minutes or so. Ephesians 3:20, most of us might know that. I need my water. We have one sleeping on the front row there. I told her, I was like, she's the only one that stayed up for the movie on the drive from Columbus to Akron last night. I was like, she's going to be tired today. So Ephesians 3:20 says this, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could even dare to ask or even dream of. Thanks. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Now, might be a slightly different version than you read, but he'll do far more, exceedingly abundantly, more than you can ask, think, or imagine. I just use this version because it says dream. More than you could dream of. And that's the cool thing about what this is. When the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon's temple and she had this experience, it said it was beyond her wildest dreams. It said it took her breath away. Listen, the excellence of the temple, the excellence of the dinner table, it was the place settings, it was the creativity. It was Solomon dreaming beyond what was at his fingertips when he first started, and now boom, and then it led to the most elaborate gift ever received in the temple. 9,000 pounds of gold was equivalent to about $12 million. So here she's blown away by the excellence. She's blown away by the creativity. She said the cupbearers actually drew her attention. It was this experience that she had that was beyond her wildest dreams. So listen, I just think that imagination is a gift from God. Close your eyes with me. Just close your eyes. And we're gonna do just this fun imagination activation. I want you to picture up here in front where people worship and dance a purple elephant with a pink tutu on its hind legs, dancing and twirling around as Pastor Rick and Summer lead worship. And it's just twirling and dancing, doing ballerina tricks. All right. How many, by a show of hands, could picture a purple elephant as I just brought you on that fun little weird journey? I think all of you. That's imagination. Listen, that wasn't a trick or a tool from the enemy. He may steal it and try to pervert it because the only thing he can do is copy things. But the reality is, imagination is a gift from God. We get to see beyond what reality is and see what can be. We get to see the enemy's camp totally different than what the reality might be, that they're stronger, they're better, they've got more, you know, all these things. And we get to see, no, wait, this is, my city can be different. My workplace can be different. My family, my family tree, my grandkids could be different. Like, it allows us to see beyond. That coworker that gives me trouble, that manager that gives me trouble, that can be different. You know, the current finances, my current marital situation, the reconciliation issue going on, the division in my family, that could be different because God gave me this ability to see beyond the circumstance and actually creatively see what can be. Let me give you an example of this. Imagination, it can be so practical too. First off, it lets us see. Think about where we'd be without art, where we'd be without the appreciation of expression of worship. You know, there's a lady dancing here. I think it was you. Just beautifully dancing. That's a creativity that's flowing. That's an expression. That means there's freedom here. That means that you're free to be you and you're free to express yourself the way God put in you. David danced out of his clothes, like nearly violently. And there's such cool revelation in that when you study it. But there's this all these things, and you think about the stringed instruments, you go through Psalms 100, Psalms 150, and what it talks about with praise and how we get to praise him in this different expression. My mentor, he's led over 1 million Muslims to Jesus in Pakistan. And about a decade ago, he was praying to God for a creative solution to open the heavens and open up access and open up doors to reach the influencers so he can have these crusades. Do you know what God told him to do? Create an award called the Peace Award and give it to the top Sunni Muslim, the top Sunni imam. So he did. He created this banquet. He invented this banquet, and he came up with the International Peace Award from GMA, Global Mission Awareness. And it's on video, and all of a sudden, now you see he invited all the top imams and all the top Muslims of the nation of Pakistan to this meeting, and he started giving out awards. And he gave the top Sunni Muslim leader this peace award. So then a year later or so, what happens is this person's son got in a car accident. He had been in a coma. So he invites Leif to the hospital and says, "Hey, I've heard you do these healing crusades. I want you to come pray to your God to see if my son can get healed." Nothing happens at the hospital. Leif is leaving thinking, "Oh my goodness, I'm probably going to die." That was probably a death sentence because he's like, "God, you got to do this. Like, you got to heal this guy." By the time he gets back to his hotel, the guy's calling him. "My son has been in a coma. It was either 2 weeks or 2 months. It was a significant amount of time. Has not responded to anything. He's up talking. He's hungry. He wants to eat. He's totally functioning on his own just by the time you went back to the hotel." Listen, that was a seed from a creative idea to give somebody a peace award. And he says, "Oh, and if you want to do these healing crusades, how can we help?" The next year they go there and 87,000 people, 87,000 Muslims were converted to Christianity through a born-again experience. 30-some thousand creative miracles. Hands were growing back. They brought a dead baby who had been dead for weeks, threw the baby on this journey, threw the baby on the stage. The baby came to life. A guy who showed up without eyeballs, all right, all of a sudden comes to the stage. They said it was like laser beams, red laser beams, just swirling in his eyes. And he opened and he had eyeballs and had sight for the first time ever. Listen, this was a creative idea. This was a dream of a peace award that opened up the nation of Pakistan. You don't hear these things. You don't know a lot of this, but we hear the million souls, one, but we don't realize that that was created from a creative idea out of an imagination, dreaming with God to get a peace award to a guy that opened up the nation. Those are the things that happens. Let me just talk about some dreamers in the Bible. By the way, last thing on that, Mark 9:23 says, "What do you mean if you can?" Jesus asks, "Anything is possible if a person believes." If you can believe it, God can do it. If you can dream it, God can do it. If you can dream, your school can be saved. If you can dream, your university, your hospital can be without a cancer wing. That's what we're believing for in our area. That our cancer wing, that our oncologists actually have to go elsewhere or go out of business because there's not cancer in our area. That's one of the things we're contending for. Cancer-free region in our area. So we'll just make it for Ohio. Cancer-free Ohio. Then we'll go to the nations once that happens. But here's the thing. If you can dream it, God can do it. There's many examples in the Bible. God gave Noah a dream to build an ark. Abraham, the dream of being the father of a great nation. Joseph, the dream of being a leader that would save his people. And Nehemiah, the dream of building the wall around Jerusalem. These are dreams. God speaks to dreams. If you remember, Gideon was at a campfire. An angel shows up to him and says, "Hey, by the way, here's how you're going to win that battle." He was kind of in a nighttime dream. An angel shows up. He's hanging out at the campfire, and boom, creativity says, "You're going to get on top of that mountain. You're going to clang a bunch of things together. You're going to yell, and you're going to light these posts, and you're going to light these things." And then the enemy, what happens? The enemy turns on themselves, and the battle's won through a creative idea that an angel dropped in his spirit. This is what God can do. It was similar to Pakistan. Like, what? We're going to do that? Yeah, they thought there were so many of them, they turned on each other and killed each other in the valley. Like, these are the wildest stories ever. Lighting the foxes' tails on fire. Like, these things are crazy. Like, turning water into blood, locusts coming. Like, all the plagues that happened that eventually got the Israelites out of Egypt because Pharaoh had enough. Like, these are just weird things, creative ideas, creative things that the Lord is possible of. If we can dream it, God can do it. I don't know what it takes to save a city. We're working on it. We know it takes money. We do know that. Money opens up a lot of doors. All right, I'm just going to be really honest with you. When you show up to your city council or your city manager or your mayor, I'm like, hey, we got $10,000. We want to bless your city. What's the greatest need? What can we do? Oh, well, let's arrange some more meetings. Let me enter. You know, I've been sitting in so many meetings in the past. It's so fun. But what happens is these things enter in. And simply this, I went, we got a prophetic word from Sean Bowles. And I don't know if I was here. That word came just a couple months after I came here. Sean Bowles says, you're going to do something in your city that people are going to receive love in a new way that they've never received love. And it's going to put your city on the map of love. For God. So I'm like, okay, all right, he's going to do a thing. It's going to be a service project. He went into this detail. He calls me out by name, Aaron Simmons. Is there an Aaron Simmons here? And so it's, you can watch the video. It's on our YouTube page and stuff. And it's so fun. I'm like, that's me. I'm here. You know, and he calls out. He's like, who's Josh and Angie to you? That's the couple that we had brought with us. We're like, oh, they're right here. He's like, oh, okay, we just see you guys bringing people into an upper room experience. We're like, ah, oh. And you know, you've been good at putting fires out, but you're gonna start some fires. You know, everybody's going nuts and like, this is crazy stuff. If you didn't know, I'm a full-time firefighter. Oh, since I've been here too, I got promoted to lieutenant. So yeah, that's a fun story. Same schedule, less work, more pay. Like, legitimately, I'm like, Lord, seriously? You gave me a promotion to do less work and you pay me more? Like, yeah, this is real. So I'll tell you that story because it was dreaming with the Lord through a test. But what was I talking about? Oh, the prophetic word. So I'm like, well, if we want to meet the need of a city, we got to find out the needs. So this is really fun. Just how the prophetic word opens up the dreaming realm. So like, okay, so I met with the city manager, and I simply said, what are your dreams? What are you dreaming for our city? And he's like, really, what? We want to add value. We're not asking for anything. We don't need anything. He's like, you just want a meeting to see what we need? Yeah. What are the needs? We want to help. We have never, just a minute. He calls in the assistant city manager. They call in the mayor, all right? They're like, we need the police chief in here too. So they call in this, like, this was just happening, this, like, in a moment, you know, after this word. They're like, this is the first time in history, they have all these people in the room now, this is the first time in history that we've ever had somebody come to us and ask us what we need without needing something in return. I'm like, really? And all I did was says, what are you dreaming of? And I said, okay, well, if money isn't an object, what are you dreaming of? That's all I said. Well, we would like to do this, this, and this. Okay, all right. And this police chief, well, we need good PR. This was like police, negativity, and PR was at like a low a couple of year or two ago. And so we started doing social media blasts for them. We started inviting them in on our love explosions so that they get credit for it. We're like, here, we're going to hand out 100 turkeys this Saturday, you know, a couple of weeks back. We're like, you guys want to come and be the ones that hand out the turkeys? We don't need credit for it. God's already going to get the credit. So, you know, we started inviting them in on some of the processes. And but then the other thing, then I meet with the community services people. They kind of know the needs, and they have these financial programs to help the needy in our community. And we give to them financially, and we have a great relationship with them. So I met with her. Her name's Kathy. And I said, hey, Kathy, basically here's what happened. Somebody declared over us that we were going to meet a need in the city, but I need to know the needs. What are they? She's like, you know what? Aaron, what you're saying, she's like, I want our city to be like it was in the 80s when the pastors actually got along and did things together. Okay, done. We'll start doing a monthly gathering for lunch, and let's do the National Day of Prayer. We'll do, so we got in on that. And then she's like, but here's what I want you to do. There's a guy in the city that wants to fund some projects. Why don't we hook you guys up? I think he wants to partner in what you're wanting to do, and he might be able to finance some things. Oh, okay. Sounds good. His name's Matt. All right, well, I called Matt. So Matt and I met, and the first time I met, he's like, write three needs you have down on a piece of paper. Remember when I came here, there was a huge heroin problem? I wrote down the thing that we were going to be putting on in July was called Hope Over Heroin. I said, we need that funded. And I said, and we need our youth. You know, we do the youth ministries in the public schools. You know, and I wrote these down. He's like, okay. He calls me up a week later. He's like, hey, Aaron, it's on a Friday. He's like, hey, Aaron, you know that meeting, that lunch we had? He's like, could you come to my office? And I was like, yeah, Matt, let me see if I can. He's like, yeah, just come by. I've got something for you. I come in. I sit down. He slides me a check. He's like, here. I was like, what's this? He's like, it's $4,000 to pay for Hope Over Heroin. And he's like, and it's matching funds, so it's all covered. I was like, oh my goodness. All right. So then he's like, and you know what else? He's like, I want to make sure we fund all of your public school ministries. So for the last, since that meeting, almost 2 years, he's been funding that. All right. Now the story gets way better. And he's like, in that community garden idea you had, the community services want to do that. And if you have the space for it, he says, I think I have a lady. He's a financial advisor. He's like, I have a lady that would probably invest $100,000 to $150,000 into a community garden. Would you want to do that? Sure. Sounds amazing. By the way, this is not the guy I met with the anonymous donation. So I'm like, yeah, this was literally a prophetic word, opened up a door. I believe that some prophetic words, they're yes and amen. It's God's yes. It's his promise. And it's our amen. Some are process. So some you just receive. Some prophetic words we just receive, okay? You're going to be an influence. You're not going to do anything about it. Okay, cool. All right. I'll just rest and receive. And then there's others. So this one I felt was like both, all right? But I'm not going to take a chance, so I need to find out the needs. So just by me pursuing it a little bit, leaning my heart into it, dreaming with these people, I asked Kathy the same thing. What's your dreams? I asked Matt, what's your dreams? And then we just started. So Matt ended up going through a kind of a traumatic time in his life, asked me to help him through the process, started counseling him a little bit. Last March, he became a member of our church. And now we're creating a nonprofit. And if he sits on the board, he gets to fully fund it. So he's he's donating the first $15,000 to our youth program through this nonprofit that will also fund all of the schools officially and needs of our community. All from a prophetic word, I pursue it and I ask somebody their dreams. What are your dreams? And this is now opening up a door. And he also launched this thing, Fill the Truck for Texas. And he and Micah just went to Texas with their fourth semi-truckload of stuff for Texas from the hurricane and flood. And it now has connected us to an African-American church in Texas. And just alone, like, this is how good God is through creativity and dreaming. All right, so while they were down there, they asked them to do a radio show program with the pastor of this church. That radio program reaches 30,000 people in the city and 50,000 people through Facebook outside the city. So there for an hour, they ministered. Micah and Matt, who's from a Lutheran church, all right, they get down there. And by the love the people showed and the excellence, they were treated to a banquet and all these things. They were honoring them. Matt, my buddy Matt, gets drunk and slain in the Holy Spirit. Now, he was Lutheran. He's been coming to our church. Like, we don't hold back and all that. But I would not say he had these Holy Spirit experiences yet. Goes down there with Micah. They lead a ton of people to Jesus on the way down. They go to New Orleans. Some guy gets born again there on the street. Matt's witnessing all this. Then they get to Houston at like 4 o'clock. 8 o'clock, their time, Micah's texting me, Matt is drunk in the Holy Spirit. He can't even stand up. This is what's happening. And then they reach all these people. Matt is funding a house to be rebuilt for somebody down there. And Micah named the project for them called the Phoenix Project. This is the crazy thing. And then they reach 80,000 people on a radio program for an hour. All from What Are Your Dreams? And it just keeps going from there. Now, so the guy on the radio program, I watched it. He's like, he wrote a book, the bishop down there. And he's like, you know, you have battleships and you have cruise ships. If we can't just cruise, we gotta be battleships. So, you know, I'm teasing him about that through a group text. And he was like, Michael Level, I like that name. He's like, Micah on the level, you know? And so I text Micah and Matt. I was like, hey, Micah on the level. Your radio program was awesome. But I was like, are you guys a cruise ship or a battleship, you know? So Matt has me to lunch this week. He's like, hey, where's our ship going to port next? What are we dreaming of? Whose lives are we going to change now? This is just, again, this is just dreaming, all right? I said I was going to talk about a fun one. Was that it? I was like, that's a fun one. We should talk about that. I got to move on, all right, because I'm running out of time for the activation part, and we might do that before the Q&A if we run out of time. But here's the deal. Thomas Edison, I don't know if you know much about him, because God does use nighttime dreams too, all right? And there's a whole chapter in our book on nighttime dreaming. Thomas Edison would sit in a chair with ball bearings in his hand, and all of a sudden, if you realize this, it's in your REM sleep that you actually dream. Once you move into the deep sleep, you don't dream anymore. So he would keep himself not going beyond REM sleep. So he would sit in a chair, and when he'd doze off, and if he'd ever move into a deep sleep, the marbles would hit on the floor, the ball bearings, and it'd wake him up. So he would journal. So all these things, all these things that were invented by Thomas Edison were literally open visions and dreams through a process of what God was downloading to him in a chair sleeping with ball bearings. So very cool. Another one, four-mile barrier. You guys ever heard of Roger Bannister? Roger Bannister was a med student, all right? And basically what happened was for 1,000 years, people studied that the four-minute mile was not possible, all right? It's not humanly possible. They would study anatomy and physiology saying your body couldn't produce enough oxygen, your muscles couldn't recover in time to push yourself hard enough to actually do a four-minute mile. Roger Bannister set out to disprove this. So he's a med student. So while he's a med student, he starts training, and every time he would cross the finish line, he would envision 3 minutes and 59 seconds. He would do a mile, and he would envision 3 minutes, 59 seconds. So on May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile, and when he broke through the finish line, it was 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. Now, here's the cool thing, because when I got around Lave, I may have been dreaming at 15,000 feet, but he soars like an eagle, all right? And he soars at like 100,000 feet. So just being around him, now I'm soaring like 50,000 feet and dreaming. One of the questions he asked me, he's like, Aaron, how are we going to transform the entire world? Like, this was coffee, like at 7 in the morning in Cuba. It's like, Aaron, how can we change the entire world? And then like a couple of days later, Aaron, I had this vision. I had a dream last night. God woke me up with a dream. He's like, can we get 1,000 people? This was when the tsunami hit Philippines. And he says, can we deploy 1,000 people to the Philippines? Here's the vision I have. And he starts, do. Then all of a sudden, that was actually in Atlanta. We go into his office, and his administrative assistant's like, oh, I have logistics on that. And he's like, then all of a sudden you see Lave just kind of walk away. And I realized at that moment the importance of dreaming with people versus being a dream destroyer, a dream crusher. You know, the person that pops the bubble, the person that pops the sails. I would rather, now listen, there is a point in realistically, like what is possible? Let him dream for the 1,000 to the Philippines for a while. Let's work it out. Let's see if it's possible. If it's not, could we do 800? Could we do 500? You know, like, I have a daughter, Olivia, she wants to be a doctor. I'm letting her dream of that. And not only does she want to be a doctor, she'll tell you, she wants to be the best children's doctor in the world. So we're encouraging that. Olivia, do you still want to be a doctor? Is that what you want to be? Yep, I still want to be a children's doctor. Okay, awesome. Olivia, you need to work on your reading a little bit. You need to read more books. She doesn't like to read. So anyway, there's these things. So I all of a sudden, but dreaming with somebody. So here's what happens, because when somebody unlocks a dream, all of a sudden, when you're in that midst, now you become part of it, and now you can see the possibility. By me talking about these crazy financial breakthroughs, now you're already starting to believe that can happen here. There's people here in our community that can partner with that. There are business owners. There are people. Listen, the Bible says this. We just started saying the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. It doesn't mean they're evil. I'm just saying the wealth of the world is stored up for the kingdom. All right? A crusade takes a lot of money. Evangelism takes a lot of money. Youth ministry takes a lot of money. All right, so but there are people that you know that are connected to this place, or even at least connected to your community, your schools, that want to partner with this. So here's what happened with Roger Bannister. He broke that, and within 1 year, 24 other people broke the four-minute mile. Now there's 17-year-olds breaking the four-minute mile. For 1,000 years, no one can hit it. Roger Bannister hits it in 1954, and 24 more people within a year break that same thing. Tell me that dreaming doesn't unlock something in the people around you. Because see, what happens is now suddenly, when that miracle happens of the blind eye being open, now you have a story that connects with somebody else that you're going to pray for. Listen, this guy was at our church, and they just prayed for a lady whose blind eye was open. God can do this. We just heard about this. Can I pray for you? You know, all these things. And now you start to go after it because now you have the faith to know that it's possible. And that's what dreaming does. It unlocks a faith realm that unlocks hope that releases destinies. So here's what where would America be? You know, if we didn't have dreamers, where would we be without a Christopher Columbus, a George Washington, the Wright brothers, who are from Dayton, Ohio? Because Ohio really is the birthplace of aviation. All right. North Carolina can just do something that I can't think of a nice word right now. Every time I see that license plate, North Carolina, birthplace of aviation, I'm like, you liars. You thieves and you liar. But anyway, and here's the cool thing about the Wright brothers. And then we're going to just go on to some things here. And I'm going to give you an assignment, and then we'll just openly talk for about 10 minutes. The Wright brothers literally saw a bird, and they said, if a bird can fly, we should be able to fly. And they had naysayers. There was a minister in their life that said, boys, if humans were meant to fly, God would have gave them wings. Their dad brings them home. He was a traveling minister, comes home, gives them a toy helicopter. The kind, I believe, from my understanding, it was kind of like, it had a thing where it'd wind up and it'd kind of take a little short jump. It'd wind up maybe a rubber band or something like that. It would wind up, short jump. And they said, we can mimic that. So they started going and just tooling around their house and their garage and doing these things in Dayton, trying to build an airplane. And now look, I can be here today and ministering in New Zealand tomorrow. It's amazing. It's this incredible thing. Not only that, but like I walked past first class, second class, and third class to get to my seat. It was amazing. I was like, whoa, Amoretti's? You guys seen that? That's on my dream list, actually. I want to fly a flight on Amoretti's. Jennifer Aniston's the one that promotes that in commercials. Like, you know, there's like a little shower, there's a bed, there's a walk-up bar, there's like on an airplane. But what I'm saying is they unlock something, and then you see where aviation went. See what it's done in wars. You see what it unlocked in American history. And how we are so free, a lot to do with aviation, because the Wright brothers, who are from Ohio, unlock something in a dreaming realm to say, if birds can do it, we should be able to do it. And a little toy ignited something in them to birth aviation. So let's do this. Let me just go around the room. Let's ask. There's some fun questions I do. Let me share one last story. It's a short one. I had a person that was really, really, really close to me. When my mom died, he was in our top leadership at the church. When my mom died, he just kind of wigged out and lost faith that God couldn't heal and all these weird things. So he didn't journey with us for like 2 or 3 years. And that's the time we found the Father's love. We found identity, sonship, just a lot of things. It was like after my mom died, there was like this 3-year journey that was just really instrumental in who we are now. And he was gone that whole time. He comes back into our life, asks if they could come over for dinner, and so we have him over for dinner. They watched a movie. They had had an abortion in their history when they were in high school, he and his wife. And they asked if they could come over, and they had watched this movie. I forget which one it was. Do you remember? Maybe God's Not Dead, one of those style of movies. Anyway, they then had an open vision, and they had dreams through the night, both of them, of their daughter in heaven. And she had a name and all these things. And it was just this encounter they had with the Lord. So they came back and he came to repent and say sorry that he wasn't there for me in my hardest times. So I just started meeting with him. And the first time we met was for coffee. And this, God does something about breaking bread and around a table. Think about all the times he used a table. And so I simply said, Aaron. Oh, I wasn't going to give his name. Sorry. I was like, what's your dream car? And, oh, my dream car, huh? And it took him a little while. I was like, what is it? He's like, oh, man, Mustang, Shelby. Oh, maybe Roush. I kind of forget. I was like, what color? Blue. What are the wheels like? Black. What's the interior like? And I just start getting, and then all of a sudden he lights up and he starts going down the list. And then it'd have this, and the radio would be this, and this, and this, and it had the ground effect, you know, and he just lights up. Over the next 2 months or less, all of a sudden he receives an impartation of everything we received in 3 years. No joke. We had this hard journey for 3 years. He comes in, I ask him one question. And I'll be honest with you, I think he couldn't answer that question. He answered it really brief, but he sent me a text that day that had all the list of all of this details of his dream car. And he said something was unlocked in him, and it opened up faith again. Then he started seeing healings, and he started praying for people, and all this crazy stuff started happening. But that dirty dog, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month, everything that took us 3 years of like hungering for and going after and contending for, he just gets a download from heaven, just comes right in, and he's already poof, back right where we are. That took us 3 years. It took him a couple weeks. Dreaming can do that. Dreaming can expedite the process. That's a often one I'll ask with guys. What's your dream car? What is it? I'll ask top leaders that. You know what? Danny Silk, what's your dream car? It's just fun because they're always asking, well, you know, what's the greatest miracle you've seen? And I want to know that stuff. But I want to know, like, what's your dream vacation? So let's do this for 5 minutes. I want to just ask, let's start simple. If you could go any place in the world, money's not an object, and it could be spiritual, but it doesn't have to be, all right? If there's any place in the world you could go for 2 weeks, where would you go? And just say it, just raise your hand. Yeah. Italy, okay? All right, yep. Oh, New Zealand.
Iceland.
They're having crazy deals right now going to Iceland. My dad saw an airline ticket for $200. So, okay.
Maybe not right now because it's winter.
Is it winter there right now? Okay. No, there's cool igloos and like you can see the night lights and all that through like glass tops and stuff. Anyway, who else? If you go anywhere, where would you go?
Australia.
Okay. Hawaii. Okay. Anywhere else?
Scotland.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go here now because we've only got about 3 minutes. All right. You are given $50 million after taxes. $50 million. You go through $1 million pretty quick in this session. You go through $10 million pretty quick. $50 million, now we're getting somewhere, all right? You're given $50 million. I'm just gonna pick on some people, all right? There's no wrong answer here. It could be a house, it could be, I'll tell you what mine are, all right? I would pay off our church debt and every covenant church that we have church debt. I would give Bethel Church a private jet, so that Bill and all those guys, and or like a jet share to where all those guys, Lave and all the top people in our tribe stream, can get places faster and be with their families more. I would, you know, these are the things. I would be a shark tank for ministries and missionaries all over the world. So I would try to create and fund businesses that would fund themselves and grow to fund ministries and people in places like Cuba and Mexico and like barbershops and nail salons, bakeries, you know, these things to teach people a trade and be transformational in the giving, kind of like Shark Tank, but for missions. Those are some of the things I would do. We just talked about this. We'd obviously buy Dream House and some other things that our dream house is actually probably a lesser house than what we have now, but it's just a better property that I had a dream. God woke me up with a dream that they gave it to us. So we're actually believing for that one. All right, who's next? 50 million. I want to pick on you. What would you do with 50 million bucks?
Definitely travel the world and go to orphanages, gospel crusades. Absolutely.
Any target nation or continent or just all?
All really. There really isn't a specific one in my heart.
Okay. You'd pay off the rest of Todd White's vision there at the new church down in Dallas, too, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Someone else, 50 million. Who's kind of got some things clicking right now? Who's excited to think about that? Anyone? Okay, awesome. That's so good. By the way, it is not bad if you're thinking of things like vacations, cars, houses, all right? Don't feel guilty about that. That's fun. Yeah.
Good. Connecting with and providing some way. Not too embarrassed, this has always been on my heart. My good friend John behind me, somehow creating for him an opportunity because I love what he does and just overpaying him beyond what he would think he was worth.
That's fun. That's good. That's cool. Love your heart. Have you guys ever given a radical tip at a restaurant? We took some friends out to dinner after we were ministering at a school in Springfield, and we brought them along with us just to hang out with them. And our bill was maybe $40. We covered theirs, and we gave a $100 tip. That was so fun. Just totally blows people away. And you know, maybe a $20 tip's huge for a bill, but. So I'm not pressuring you to do that, but it's fun to give people when they're not expecting it. You know, it's fun to blow people away. And by the way, money's not the root of all evils, just so you know. I know we're talking a lot about money in this session and dreaming, and it's the love of money. When we begin to worship anything greater than we're worshiping God, it becomes an issue. So it sounds to me like a lot of you are probably going to have a harder time thinking more selfishly with money than trying to help others, all right, which isn't a bad thing. But here's your assignment, all right? I want you to do this, and I'm going to just we'll end on this, and we're done. We'll just do something different this afternoon, but because we squeezed enough of this in. But I want you to do this, and this was something Lave challenged me with when I first met him. The first time he was at our church, well, not the first time I met him, but the first time he was at our church, he challenged me to do a dream list. He calls it a bucket list. I call it a dream list because I'm not really preparing to die yet. So, but a dream list, okay? And this is one of the activations in our book. It's 20 dreams, and you need to write them down. Habakkuk 2 says something about writing the vision down. And there's something powerful when you actually write it down that I've seen come to pass. It's this amazing thing. Like, we write all of our prophetic words down, and we have, you know, the Sean Bowles word, we had our personal assistant dictate that, and it's all written out. But here's the deal. There's something powerful about this, and let me just share a couple stories, and you have one in-house here. Because I did a session real similar to this a year and a half, almost 2 years ago at our church, and Rick was there. And but here's the deal. Here's what I encourage you with. I want you to do 10 natural dreams first, then 10 spiritual dreams. Okay, so your dream list consists of 20 dreams, 20 goals, 20 great things that you want to see happen, do, go to. Like one of mine is to walk all of my girls down the aisle. I want to be alive. I want to be able to do that. That's one of my natural dreams. I also have a dream car. Be specific, okay? We wrote Nicole's. This is crazy. I'll share some stories here. Is it okay if we go 5 more minutes? So when you write these down, it's like they all just come true. So I wrote crazy things down. Like, so 10 natural, just like that car with my friend Aaron, it unlocks things that then opened up the spiritual realm. Sometimes it's the natural. When we roll into a church, if we roll into worship and everything's off key and so loud that you can't even take it, or so low that you can't even hear it, we're distracted. Or if there's a light flashing, you know, like say there's one of these bulbs that's going out and it just keeps flashing. It distracts us. The natural distracts us where sometimes the spiritual can't be met. Now, many of us seasoned Christians or seasoned worshipers, we can worship without music. We can do these things. We can push beyond that because we've trained ourselves. But early on in our walk even, and even still me, I'm like, squirrel. So like, just for me, I'm still like, as much as I worship without music and just in my car just every day, I'm still like, if there's like a light or something that's off or an instrument that's out of tune, I'm just like, I can't do it. Or the words aren't matching up to what they're singing. I'm like, can't they get it right? You know, but anyway, so the encouragement is 10 natural first, then 10 spiritual. Now, say you reach a point and you can only think of 7. All right, move to the spiritual. Go back to it later. But I encourage you to do that within the next week. Maybe this weekend, throughout the weekend tonight, as the Buckeyes beat Wisconsin, just be writing that list down. That could be dream number one, actually, for now. When it comes to pass, you just replace it with another one. So here's the deal. I started writing crazy things down. My wife wrote down her dream car, black luxury SUV, blah, 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 blah. Last year, a group of people got together who love us a ton and said, my wife was driving my current MDX. It's pretty bad. So they're like, listen, and it was, you know, every once in a while it breaks down or I got to replace a tire or something. So, and I go to the junkyard and just take care of business. So anyway, they're like, we don't want you worrying about anything. We want you to go buy your dream car and we're going to cover a 3-year lease. So we're going to pay for that. So just go get what you want. Here's your allowance. And they totally paid for it. And that was on our dream list. Me to be able to travel with our whole family to St. Lucia, or on a missions trip was on the dream list. My initial one was to travel with Lave and be able to minister with him was on my dream list. To go bear hunting was on my dream list. To climb a mountain, but I didn't even know this. We just revisited my dream list a few weeks ago, and climb a mountain was on there. Let me go through some of these. Within 3 months of me writing the one to travel to Lave, he invites me to Cuba. I made the dream list in August. January 1st, I'm traveling to Cuba with Lave and staying in the hotel room with him, on the plane with him, ministering with him. It was just really awesome. That summer, somehow it fell in our lap where our entire family went to St. Lucia on a missions trip for 15 days. Great place to go on a missions trip, by the way. Just everything. I got invited, a guy in our church who's an attorney, his law partner, dad owns 300 acres in Colorado, and said, Aaron, have you ever thought about bear hunting? Would you like to come with me bear and elk hunting? Last fall, I went bear and elk hunting. Scott Thompson invited me to go to New Zealand with him, and we went red stag hunting, and we were ministering and stuff, and I should probably say that first. We got to minister, but we hiked for 3 days in the mountains, and then I go back to my dream list, and this kind of messes me up. I forgot I put it. I didn't even know I put on there climb a mountain. I just remember scaling this mountain, and I was so scared. I've never hiked or anything. We go up like 2,500 feet, 70 pounds on my back. I thought I'm going to die. I'm climbing up rocks, and they're like, you know, they knew I never hiked. They're like, Aaron, you just did a level 10 hike and mountain climb. I was like, thanks, guys. You know, through the process, I'm like, I'm going to die. Oh, you know, you're looking down. It's just like straight down. But anyway, I get to the top. I'm like, oh, my gosh, taking pictures and everything. And then I looked just last month, and it was like climbing a mountain was on my dream list. So I'll just tell you one. Rick did this. You want to share your story? Your truck?
Yeah.
That was on your dream list, right?
Yeah.
A new truck. And He has a new truck. Yeah, and then the last one I'll talk about. This is just fun. I don't know if you know Chuck Hagee. Do you remember the name of his church or where? Howard, Ohio. Good friend of mine. So I did this session at their school of ministry. And I came back to preach for the church like, I don't know, 2-3 months later. And this girl who attends a university there, she's this cute, bubbly little girl. And she's like, he's like, let's just call everybody up who had dreams come true just in the last 3 months since Aaron was here and told us to do that dream list. Like 10 people come up and like big things. And this one girl, it stands out because of how like energetic she was. She was like, well, I put on there that my dream was to get my license. Here I am at college, and I just kind of depend on everybody else for rides, and sometimes it makes it hard to get into church, and so I just put on their dream. And then he said, he talked about cars a lot, so I just put on their dream car, too. So I put Subaru Forester, green, and, you know, it's kind of funny because I didn't have my license. So then, like, 2 weeks later, somebody got a hold of me and said they had something for me. So they come in and then they put these keys in my hands. And I was like, what's this? So they gave me a Subaru Forester, the exact color I put down. And then I was like, well, I don't even have my license. And you know, she's talking like this, it's funny. So she's like, well, I better go probably get my license. So just since he's been here, I got my dream car given to me free of charge. And I got my license because I had a car. I needed to get my license now. Just crazy. I'm like, are you serious? I'm blown away. These people just start going through one thing after the next. And I'll be honest, every person that I've had feedback from this, the same thing happens. And don't veer off. Like, that's too far out there. I put stuff on there like, okay, I hope to do this. Like I said, I put my daughter, walking my daughters down the aisle. I put things on there I hope to do or get or be by the time I was dead. All right? And then, like, within the first year, within the first 6 months, 50% of my stuff came to pass. So, and I just have the faith for that. I can dream with you on that. So that's my encouragement to you. That's your challenge. That's your activation. Do your dream list. And I can't wait to see what happens and unfolds in the next year. Even if it's one thing, that's awesome. Maybe it's 6 things. Maybe it's 3 things. Maybe it's 20 things. Maybe it's all of them. But, you know, the spiritual things are like, you know, I want to see all of my kids and grandkids serving the Lord. I want to see the city transformed and be known as a city for Christ. You know, those can be spiritual things. I want to lead somebody to Jesus and see a healing of blank. You know, just things that maybe you don't have the courage for, that you don't see often. Just those are the spiritual ones. But that's it. I'm getting the smiles and the eyes. So love you guys. Glad to be here. Can't wait for this afternoon and tomorrow.